How long can you stand it?
It depends, what do you want to know? So they're asking quick questions, and I'll see if I can give you quick answers.
Right, fine. If we can get back to this little lot, I've got a few quick questions about that. You said that you find it difficult to recruit people for the evening comps work.
I don't think I said it was difficult.
We said that's why you went into the system of two evening shifts.
What I said was that we looked for people, you know, we've made the time fit the people.
Yeah.
For what we thought would be more sort of conducive to attracting people. You know, if someone's got children, you know, working in the, and they want to work in the evening, you know, because the husband will look after the kids and the business of domestic social arrangements within that. If they've got them working two evenings and alternate Saturday, it gave them options. You know, it's better than saying, well, you've got to come and work every evening 6 till 10 and Saturday 2 till 10. Mm. That's not a very attractive proposition.
And that still operates, that arrangement of basically two evenings and Saturday.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. Can you tell me what the hours exactly of that evening shift are?
Approximately 6 to 10, 10:30, because we have a sort of rather open-ended finish. You know, there's a certain amount of work and they've got to get it done. But it normally is about 10 or a few minutes after 10. It depends. Monday's a fairly busy day again. Tuesday's a fairly busy day.
And the Saturday morning...
Probably a load of work on one day.
Yeah. The Saturday morning shift.
Well, the Saturday morning is part of the day staff. And then it's Saturday afternoon and evening that is the evening shift sort of
people. And what that's the one I'm interested in. The Saturday afternoon evening, is that 4 hours again?
Well, I think I said before that at one time we used to bring them in about probably 1:30, 2 o'clock, and because of our retail trade that we had then, you know, we could go till 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock on a Saturday. But things have improved. We haven't got retail to contend with now in any way at all. And the thing is improving, getting better and better. So instead of coming at 2 o'clock now, we want them to come as early as possible. And the earliest we can get them in, basically, is about half 10 to 11.
Mm.
So they work half 10 to 11. And there's a certain sort of staggering of starting times, but they usually finish by 5 or 6 o'clock at the latest, I think. Well, the weather can affect these things, and sort of holidays and that. You know, I'm thinking of bank holidays in the sense if there's extra to deliver over a fairly long holiday, which could occur at Christmas, then, you know, then there may be an extension of the time in that sense.
Mm.
And, you know, if it snows badly or something like that, you know, if in the middle of winter if you get some very bad weather, you know, well, those sort of fairly quick, freaky sort of snow conditions. And everything gets delayed.
Yeah. So they have to hang around.
They may have to sort of hang on a bit till the finish.
Yeah. Do you know whether any of them have other jobs?
There's only one of them.
There's 11 part-timers, so that you said.
Yeah.
Is that a full-time job? Yes,
it is.
Is she married?
No, I was going to say, no, I don't think she has any sort of attachments. But the answer is a simple no. I don't think I should qualify her situation in that sense. I will try to. I don't think they would do.
Do they ever come in, the people do the evening shift, do they ever come in during the day to help out when people are away?
Oh, yes. This is one of the things that we find. And I think I said this before as well, it gives a certain flexibility, and because of the nature of our sort of systems, it's not the kind of thing that you could sort of get somebody from nowhere, off the street, say, well, would you sit down and do that?
Yeah.
So the experience and ability that the girls build up over a period of time is very useful in these circumstances. They can't necessarily do everything on the day shift from the night shift, but there are several things that they can do, and in holiday times, if, you know, or particular problems, we could always ring up and say, would you mind coming in for a couple of hours tomorrow morning? That sort of thing. So we've got our own built-in temp section.
Yes. And do daytime comp operators ever help out in the evening, on the evening shift?
It doesn't always work too much that way, but we can do at times. if the need arises, particularly at weekends, you know, if there's any particular problem, we can get the day girls to sort of stay on a bit and work through Saturday that way.
Yeah.
And give them a bit of help in that. So.
Are the comp operators the only one who do an evening shift in the office?
Well, yes, basically, but one of the things that we have done over the years, although we call them our evening comps, they have been sort of retrained into the use of certain aspects of our computer system. So they are able to do certain functions there. And when in the change of systems that we're undergoing at the moment, this is one of the things that I'm developing currently, is sort of an optional, you know, I'm saying to them that I want you all to do it, but to learn the new routines as they develop. And, you know, the time is now available. Or, you know, we've got the system started. The options are there for you to come along. You can come along in the afternoon and sort of spend a couple of hours on training if you will. But that has to be on a sort of optional basis initially because of the present time. We've got sort of school holidays and all those sort of things. And it isn't always possible for somebody to dump the children, you know, and spend the afternoon.
Would they get paid for coming in for those couple of hours?
Oh, yeah.
On training?
Yeah.
Are any of them doing it at the moment?
Yes.
How many?
Well, we've had three or four of them have done it, but then we start to run into sort of problems where somebody goes, also, I've done 2 weeks, now I've come in certain days on 2 weeks where I could be available, but I'm on holiday for the next fortnight, or we've had one situation where one lady's elderly aunt has had an offer of some sort of special eye cornea graft or something. You know, she's the only one that can fetch her from Timbuktu to here. I'm sorry, I shan't be able to come for the next few days because I've got this aunt problem. So we get those kind of things. Another girl was coming and her husband fell off a ladder painting their house and he has to go to the hospital for treatment. So she can't come in the afternoon, but sort of fulfills her evening.
How long would this retraining take?
Well, it depends. One girl that has sort of gone the route did it in about, probably in about a couple of weeks. And in those 2 weeks, she probably came for perhaps an average of 3 days, three afternoons per week, but she picked it up very quickly. But she was most anxious to learn, you know, a bit of incentive. She went, well, I'd like to know all about it, you know, let me get my hands on it sort of thing. She'd got a very definite interest and wanted to get at it and sort of made the effort and has picked it up very quickly. I was talking only last evening to what we call the coordinator, and she was saying, well, yeah, Penny's done very well. You know, she came back from a holiday and she came in sort of Tuesday afternoon, I think it was, of this week, and she said, I had a bit of a job to restrain her, you know, she'd still remembered, because sometimes if they have a couple of weeks away, you know, they come back and they want a bit of a refresher, but she said, oh, no, she was dabbling away. She said, I had to sort of say, leave it alone, you know, you might get it in a mess, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's not terribly difficult, but there are certain sort of processes and things that you have to follow, and you can, if you get a bit over-anxious, you know, the thing's got sort of certain sort of fail-safe things built in, you know, and if somebody, you know, suddenly the thing locks out and they have to go through another process of setting it all up again, you know, that kind of thing. So, also Pam's kid, the coordinator, was a bit sort of watching, so, you know, don't get too carried away, you know, otherwise we might get ourselves into this locked out and it cost us half an hour or an hour to get set up and going again, you know. But she got it all, this girl's very good.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased that she is.
And she's one of the evening girls?
One of the evening girls.
To what extent are these clerical jobs interchangeable, the machine accounts, sales ledgers? So if you're short on one, you could get someone from one of the others to go and do it.
Well, it's a bit difficult to answer that one because there are certain routines and techniques that some people know something about, but not everything about. So for instance, if say sales ledger machine posting situation failed completely, there are a couple of other people that could go and say, yes, all right, we know how to do it, and it, but it would be a rather long process, but they know how to do it. In punch room, again, some people here know a little bit about it, but it would sort of tend to delay.
Yeah, it would take them much longer much to do longer. The job. Yeah. But in an emergency...
There's a fair amount, but yes, there's a fair amount of sort of swing shift situation there that you can push people about and ask them, would you mind going and doing this? And, you know, mobility is pretty accessible. You know, sometimes you get the answer, oh, I don't really want to go and do that. You know. But in a pinch, they do. Yeah. Quite good cooperation. But one of the things that we've always said here, that basically, although people are part-time, you know, we try to give them the same sort of treatment that, you know, full-time people enjoy, in terms of, you know, pay conditions and so on, we try to do that.
Yes, you were saying about treating part-timers in much the same way as full-timers.
They don't
think
we do, but we do.
What do they think?
Well, I think, I don't know. I think there's probably, particularly the evening girls, I think there's always a little bit of sort of, well, of course the day girls, you know, don't have quite the same problems that we do. And the day girls say, well, the evening girls don't have the same problems that we do. And it's a dead cinch for them, you know.
Yeah. Is this in terms of the actual work they have to do, or in terms of the problems they have in getting to work? And
well, I think it's the whole bag of tricks, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think people do these things, don't they? They tend to try to equate where they are in the system and sort of relate it to other people. And if they think other people are a little bit better off than them, then, well, it's all right for them, sure, that is. Yeah. And those sort of things. But I suppose that probably the... I don't know. I mean, you could get into all this argument about unsocial hours and whatnot and so on and so forth, but it goes back to the beginning. One says to oneself, well, if we have an available work situation and there are people that can only work and at given times and you can find, you know, A matches B and you get them together, well, all right, you know. But that is a decision that if B is the person that's got the time available to do the work that we've got available, then they've got to say to themselves, well, I know what I'm doing. I am making the decision to go out to work in the evening.
Mm.
That is my problem. It's not Ron Draper's problem. It's not Sutton Baker's problem. Mm. They decide that. And they sit down, presumably, with their husbands and say, is it all right if I go out to work sort of two evenings on an alternate Saturday? And if he says, yes, all right, you do that, because it's going to be either therapeutic for you, it's going to be a financial aid to the family kitty or whatever, they make that decision. I don't do it. And I feel that in that circumstance, that they should be aware of their responsibilities in making that decision. You know, once they get into the system, you know, well, that's one thing that they should have in their mind. If they've got problems and they want to come and talk about them, they might be able to listen to them and help them where we can. But some people do tend, and we've had it over years, they make the decision, they come out, and then, you know, it's your problem, you know. They always seem to have got a bit of a chip on the shoulder, some of them, you know, and it's, well, it's your fault, I'm here doing this, you know, sort of attitude. And you have to remind them occasionally, well, I didn't snatch you off the street and drag you in, you know. You decided to come yourself.
Yeah. I mean, are there particular problems that come up like that? I mean, is it about childcare or assault of violence or...?
Well, I suppose the things are all contributory, yes, but I always feel that sort of... You have a person who's got a fairly reasonable, intelligent approach to the situation and you don't have too much trouble with them. But you have sometimes a person who you feel has come to the conclusion that they need to get a job because they want the money.
Mm.
And probably that is the first incentive. And once having got into the sort of system, then they're pleased to have the money sort of thing, but everything else is a chore. And they've got to have some point, some focal point, to sort of have a bit of a niggle about. And usually the employer, you know, sort of it's your fault, you know, sort of thing. It's not, I don't think it's a, it's not a considered process of thinking, but you get this feeling, sort of, here we go again, here's old Moaning Min, what's the problem now?
But it's not a specific problem that comes up.
I think that sort of people get a little bit irritated by the fact that they need the money, but they've got to come out and earn it, and coming out and earning it is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, they've made the decision, but they can't rationalise it totally.
Yeah.
You know, they get to the point where sort of coming here becomes a chore, and they can't give it up because they've got into the habit of needing the money. I mean, you probably feel the same way I do sometimes. it's a fairly common situation.
Yeah. What happens about supervision of the office work? Are any part-timers supervisors?
Yeah.
Also supervisors.
In the sense of the evening section, they are.
There's a part-time evening supervisor. And during the day. Do each of these groups of workers have a supervisor?
In the sections that we have in the office, yes, there's a sort of section leader supervisor situation within that context. Yeah. But they're full time. They're sort of full time kind of.
They're all full time as the section leaders.
Yeah. With the exception, as I say, of the evening section, where the two girls that supervise that section. So there's one that's a sort of the senior supervisor, probably because she's been here about 30 years, and another one that's a sort of assistant. But we need that because the one girl isn't here all the time, sort of thing. It wouldn't be reasonable to expect her to be, etc. So when she isn't, this one is. So there's a balance. But anyway, they're quite reasonable, intelligent people. And, on certain evenings, it isn't necessary. Well, perhaps on any evening, it might not be necessary to supervise them all together as such, but it's necessary to have some sort of chain of command. You know, you've got to be able to say, if I ring up, I've got to be able to say, well, can I speak to X, please, and say, well, all right, will you arrange to do so? Mm. Or if there's a problem developed here, then somebody's got to take the initiative, supervisor rings me and says, look, we're in trouble about so-and-so, can you tell us what to do?
Yeah.
You've got to have some sort of connection.
Right. And why are they full-timers, all section leaders on the section?
Well, because they work during the day, which is a sort of 9-to-5 situation.
But why not part? I mean, for example, in the comms section, why not a part-timer?
Well, again, because you basically need the coverage of people being there with the responsibility while the work is being supervised. The continuity situation comes in there.
I mean, is this because in the comms section you've got just the one full-timer and 19 part-timers. Are the part-timers are staggered so that some
That's
of
right,
them
yeah.
work more mornings and some work more afternoons? I see. So you would never have a part-timer doing the supervision?
Not in the the lady that does supervise, she has perhaps she would fall short of what we term a full time situation by about 2 or 3 hours a week. Mm. But that is not a problem. But you couldn't have a sort of section working that has certain processes to go through, particularly in the sort of early part of the week where the problem is greater in a sense because there are far more things happening. You couldn't sort of have that's supervised by somebody essentially who sort of comes in 9 o'clock until 12:45, then goes away. You know, you want the continuity, you want somebody there 9 to 5, because at 5 o'clock certain things have got to be finalised and finished, and somebody's got to say, yes, okay, the thing is done.
Yeah.
But if you haven't got somebody looking after that, then you'd have a potential situation where certain things would get left or probably start to fall apart, because people would say, well, I'm not paid to do that. Because you do get a little bit of this.
Yeah.
It's not my job to worry about that. I'm not paid to worry about this sort of thing. But if you've got somebody there that is,
yes,
then they do.
So how much more do they get for being a section leader? Is it sort of a bonus system, or do they go up a grade?
Oh, yeah, it's like a grade.
Goes up a grade. Is there any sense in which the clerical workers can be promoted other than to section leaders? I mean, is there a sort of hierarchy of jobs here?
So it depends, I suppose, what you're not saying, what Professor Chair, don't know which dates me. I was going to say it depends what you mean by promotion, really, and what people want. You find usually that sort of, if you look at the sort of the cross section of people that work in an office like ours, probably the female staff, the majority are sort of married ladies, and they're not necessarily looking for, you know, sort of take off into the wild blue yonder as sort of career girls and sort of executive level thing. So for some of them, if I said to them, well, what would you take responsibility and do, so they say, oh, no, I don't want to bother, thank you very much, it's kind of you to offer. I don't want a responsibility, I'm quite happy as I am. Because I say, I suppose a lot of people, female really, they work in this context, don't they? In the context that we're talking here.
So, you have two assistants here, two assistant accountants, basically the men, are they?
That's right.
Would they have come up through these sorts of jobs, or did they come in from a different...
Well, the two that we have came from outside.
From outside.
But there's no sort of design there, I suppose. If we had a youngster, perhaps, at work that was, say, attracted to this sort of situation, you know, and came up, well, that would be equally acceptable.
Would the work they do in the office provide the sort of training they'd need to get one of those assistant jobs, or would they have to go and do a course of some sort?
Well, it depends what experience they've had. Since we recruited from outside, we were able to advertise at a certain level, and people come along with a fairly basic experience that we think would be suitable for the sort of job that we're doing. And then it becomes a question of on-the-job training in our systems of routine.
But there's no... They wouldn't need an accountancy training in order to do the job.
Well, probably they do, in the sense that we would say that... We would state that as a requirement.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of training to a certain level. Or experience to a certain level would be necessary. But they're not part-time ladies, are they?
No, not. what's the turnover in the office like?
Quite modest, I suppose, really.
And in the last 6 months, have you had any vacancies?
Well, I suppose you must have had one. The second assistant, he changed. But again, he's not part-time, maybe. Apart from that, I can't think of anything. You see, because I think, again, in the context that we're probably talking, when, particularly now, in the sort of economic condition, if somebody finds a fairly steady part-time job, which has reasonable conditions and good pay, then I would suggest probably they're going to stick to it like glue.
Yes.
Because there aren't, you know, too many options.
I mean, have you noticed that as a change, that people are saying,
well,
has it always been fairly stable?
It's always been fairly stable. I say, in our evening section, one girl's been there certainly longer than 25 years. There's another one that, with broken service, must be coming along to it, because we've got one lady that worked for us for quite a number of years. I can't remember the exact timing and dates now, but she broke service to have a third child, and then sort of was quite happy to come back again. And that third child now, I couldn't hazard a guess altogether, because time passes by. But I should think it's probably certainly at school now, and getting on a little bit, you know, into sort of 7 or 8, that kind of bracket. But she's still there, still quite happily working on.
She's one of the evening ladies.
But again, so on the days we've got several people that are in the, you know, they've had a goal of work. But are part-time during the day.
Yes. And the full-time women, are they mainly unmarried women? quite small?
We've had a sort of few that come start fairly young and sort of go out and get engaged, get married and have children and leave for that purpose. Mm. You know, we've got one at the moment. But this is a full-time lady. This is, you know, she's sort of gone through that process. She's now pregnant and we'll be leaving in due time.
And she's not taking maternity leave, she's actually leaving, is she?
Well, it's only this last few days that she's told me that she's pregnant, and she did previously sort of swear on a stack of Bibles that she wanted to work for about 99 years sort of thing, and they had no intention of starting a family, etc., etc. Then sort of about 3 months later she came out and said, well, you know, I've been to the hospital and I am pregnant. And I said, oh, well, I thought that might be the case. You know, we haven't really discussed in any depth her sort of situation, but I think she wants to leave. But this is something I've got to resolve with her. Sit down and talk to her and say, but what do you want to do?
Have you had any people take maternity leave to come back after? Yeah. Would it cause any problems for you?
Potentially, one must answer that question and say yes, potentially yes it would. Because there are certain requirements that, and probably I think people may think that this is wrong, but there are certain requirements that we have to fulfil in terms of our routine, which is very much a day-to-day one. And, you know, I mean, I like people to be here and do the job and get on with it. And we have found in the past that where we've had to sort of, we've tried to work flexi-time, and this is going back some years, that sort of everybody wants to suit themselves, and eventually you are sort of sorting things out to suit everybody else, and you ain't getting anywhere yourself. Because people are basically selfish, and they want to do what they want to do, and sort of they will take the job, as it were. So you have to be fairly firm about that, and say, well, look, all right, there are things we've got to do, and we're going to get on and do it.
But I'm not sure why that's particularly relevant to the maternity leave problem.
Well, not the maternity leave problem, but people coming back after. That was the question you asked me, I think.
Oh, no, I mean if someone, I was thinking immediately about the gap caused by someone leaving and filling that gap for...
Oh, I see. Well, I suppose we could cope with that. That wouldn't be too much of a problem. But one anticipates that if somebody came back with perhaps a small baby that's, I don't know what time they would come back at, but probably say it's a few months old baby, presumably.
Yes.
Which to me raises all sorts of problems. Because I wouldn't think that, you know, that's something that people ought to do. I would have thought that it was necessary to stay at home and look after a young baby. That's probably
old-fashioned. So, you would discourage it, anybody with a young baby coming back to full-time work?
Well, in general terms, I think, yeah. I don't know. I haven't got any real fixed opinions on it, you know. I mean, if somebody came and said to me that, I have got adequate sort of coverage for that condition, and it will not affect my working situation, except perhaps in extremes. And if I thought that the girl that was saying it knew what she was saying and had sort of intelligently thought the problem through and had made adequate cover for it, then I would accept it. Yeah. But as I say, I've had circumstances where people will promise you the moon sometimes, but sort of, you know, it never sort of perhaps will materialize.
Yeah.
Well, I just mentioned one, you know, sort of girl said, oh, yeah, they made certain arrangements on the understanding that she, in terms of a promotion and a pay increase, on the understanding that she would be there for some time, but sort of more or less having achieved that, we sort of, all right, we're going to get married tomorrow, we're going to buy a house next week, boom, boom, boom. You go through the routine, and then in 3 months, 6 months' time, you know, our circumstances have come together and we're going to have a baby, thank you very much, but sort of, well, what I said whatever it was, 12 months ago, you know, I'm sorry about it, but there you are. Yeah, that's one of those things.
So, I mean, in that sense...
That sort of thing can happen. Yeah. I mean, I hope that I'm being objective there. Yeah. You know, I'm not sort of saying, well, all right, I feel niggled about it, you know, because I don't particularly, because when she told me, I thought, well, I don't think you're going to make it. But anyway, we went through the process, and I wasn't surprised when she came and told me that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. But one does begin sort of to have thoughts and think, oh, well, yeah, maybe you're right, maybe you're right. Mm-hmm. But I say, one can misjudge, I suppose, but I say, if I thought that somebody had really thought the thing through and they gave me an assurance that they'd got sort of proper, adequate circumstances.